Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 20th of May 2013, the podcast that cures headaches by decapitation. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's defenestrate the news of the bogus. And yet more surprises come out surrounding the effects of Obamacare. At least, surprises to people who weren't paying attention and didn't think about it for more than a nanosecond. Yes, despite Obama's assurance that you'd be able to keep your current policy, the AP Newswire reports that many people's insurance will be canceled because it doesn't meet the requirements set in the Affordable Care Act. This affects many individuals, as well as small businesses, who will have to find a replacement policy. In 2009, Obama promised to the nation, quote, "If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan, period. No one will take it away, no matter what." How long is it going to take before people learn they can't trust a word that comes out of a politician's mouth? Other new requirements include a $63 per head fee to be paid by employers covering their employees' dependents, as well as the cancellation of a long-term care insurance program. In a prepared statement, Health and Human Services spoke stooge Joanne Peters said, quote, "Beginning in October, individuals and small businesses will be able to shop for insurance in the marketplace, where we are already seeing that increased competition and transparency are leading to a range of options for quality, affordable plans." Yo, Peters, it's not increased competition if you take people's choices away. And is it just me, or has anyone else noticed that all of these advantages claimed by Obamacare apologists, such as increased competition and transparency, are actually things that happen in a free market, not in a corporatist monstrosity like the current healthcare system, which will just be worsened under the ACA? Tell people you want a free market in healthcare, and they gasp in horror. Tell them that Obamacare does the same thing that a free market would, and let's be clear, it doesn't, and they'll jump for joy. Obamacare apologists say that people should be in favor of these changes because they'll get better insurance as a result. But if people wanted better insurance, wouldn't they be paying for it already? As healthcare consultant Bob Lazewski put it, quote, "You're going to be forcibly upgraded. It's like showing up at the airline counter and being told, you have no choice. $300, please. You're getting a first-class ticket. Why are you complaining?" Right, because it's for our own good. All hail the nanny state. Well, if you think the nanny state's bad here, just try living in Europe. Case in point, as of January 1st, 2014, the European Union is banning, get this, olive oil jugs in restaurants. Yes, no more will you have an olive oil jug or dipping bowl you can use to enhance the flavor of your food. In its place will be pre-packaged factory bottles. This will absolutely stop the practice many restaurants have of refilling their bottles with olive oil purchased from small producers or family-run operations. One restaurateur, Sam Clark, says that he will no longer be able to serve special Spanish olive oil. Quote, "This will affect us. It's about choice and freedom of choice. We buy our oil, which we have selected from a farm in Spain, to serve our customers. Yet more packaging is not going to be eco-friendly and will limit choice to more mass-produced products. It's very upsetting. Haven't they already done enough damage to artisan products?" Don't go thinking that's an unintended consequence, Clark. GovCo protects their corporate cronies far more often than it protects the public. And people buying into the concept of the nanny state gives them the perfect cover for doing just that. According to the EU, the purpose of the ban is, quote, "to guarantee the quality and authenticity of the olive oil put at the disposal of consumers. The aim is to better inform and protect the consumer. We also expect hygiene to be improved, too." By the way, they're still allowing refillable white vinegar bottles and refillable wine jugs. Guess those industries need to step up their lobbying efforts. Because whether it's Europe or America or wherever, that's what big government leads to. And that's true whether they're big olive oil manufacturers or big health insurance providers. It's all about corporations profiting at the expense of the people. Once again, I have to ask, when will we learn? Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And if you buy before June 30th, 2013, you'll get a whopping 35% off your order, and you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now for a bit of good news. After years of protests, lobbying, and facing punishment by the courts, women in New York have finally won the right to go shirtless wherever men can. New York City's 34,000 police officers have been officially instructed that if they see a woman in public who is shirtless but otherwise obeying the law, they should just leave her alone. Police should only interfere if a crowd forms around a topless woman, and even at that, they should only interfere if the crowd does not disperse as instructed. Hopefully, this is the start of a trend. As more and more places around the country start allowing women to go top-free, this should finally help desexualize the female breast in the minds of the people. Really, people, it's just a modified sweat gland. Although there are certainly contexts where breasts are quite sexual, 14 frames of Janet Jackson's boob should not send the country into an uproar. And before you go and bleed on in the comments about how most women don't have sexy breasts and you wouldn't want to see them because they don't look like they do in pornos, understand you are completely missing the point. The point is not that we're horny and want to see breasts. The point is to desexualize them. So if you were thinking of making a comment like that, well, congratulations. You're part of the problem. Really, we've for the most part grown up in a society where women's bodies are portrayed as shameful. You have to cover your breasts. You have to buy all these feminine hygiene products because your lady parts are all dirty and nasty. For the most part, these products are bogosity and are absolutely not needed by women. Hopefully, this is the start of a change for the better for women all over the country. And for men, too. In the comments accompanying this article, several people said that when men see breasts, they just go crazy and start raping. Here's an example from Ashley Moreno, quote, "When a little girl gets raped after some guy gets worked up, and there will be guys who will, you explain to her the sacrifice was worth it for the fight for equality. One girl, only one, is one too many." Or Tabitha Wheatley, quote, "Women that walk around topless will be more likely to get assaulted slash raped, and like it or not, it's true." Here's a particularly egregious one from Lynn Dolly, quote, "Free your breasts? Really? If you had a problem wearing clothes, sounds like you're more open-legged than open-minded. Disgusting sluts. This isn't a movement for equality, it's a movement for more women to be victimized and objectified by hormone-driven males. Just wait for the legal system to be clogged with rape charges." Once people see that women going around topless do not turn men into uncontrollable horn dog animals who just can't help but rape her, a lot of the biases that men experience in society should ebb as well. Really, this isn't about breasts or sexual displays at all. It isn't about rape or slut-shaming or anything of the kind. It isn't even about women in particular. It's about that all-important concept, equal protection under the law. If it's legal for a man to be shirtless, it should be legal for a woman to be shirtless, too. The same rules apply to everyone, regardless of race, or gender, or sexual orientation, or group membership, or status, or whatever. And that's a concept that's worth fighting for in every case, every single time. Now it's time to excommunicate this week's biggest bogon emitter. Okay, yeah, libertarians can disagree on certain things, abortion for example. But if you're a libertarian, you must believe that everyone is sovereign over his or her own body, which means that Pretty much by definition, you can't be a libertarian if you're in favor of the war on drugs. Drug legalization has been a prominent libertarian issue since day one. But now, Rand Paul, supposedly the only libertarian in the Senate, has said he does not want to do this. At a Republican Party dinner in Iowa, he said he would not legalize any drugs, not even marijuana, but that he would reduce the penalties. You know, I could almost forgive such a statement 15 years ago, back when I and many other libertarians were regularly told that we'll never get anywhere in politics unless we give up this silly opposition to the drug war. But as it turns out, we weren't silly. We were the innovators, the ones who got the ball rolling. And now, 18 states plus the District of Columbia have legalized medical marijuana, and two states have outright legalized possession of small amounts of marijuana for any purpose, with many more sure to follow. He also made statements in support of traditional marriage and against gay marriage. He would stop short of a federal ban, though, because, quote, "We're going to lose that battle, because the country is going the other way right now." But he went on to say, quote, "If we're to say each state can decide, I think a good 25 or 30 states still do believe in traditional marriage, and maybe we allow that debate to go on for another couple of decades and see if we can win back the hearts and minds of the people." Got news for you, Paul. You're not the one winning hearts and minds on this issue. What, you really think we're going to start marching backwards into Bronze Age value systems after we've made all this progress? After we've proven conclusively that the arguments used against gay marriage are bogus? The future is coming, but it seems it will leave the backwards, primitive ideals of Rand Paul behind. Folks, if you're thinking of supporting Rand Paul in what appears to be him gearing up to run for the presidency, learn the lesson we learned from Barack Obama that we should have learned years before. That he's not this big reformer who's going to go in and fix things. He's just another business-as-usual politician. And if he isn't, he's certainly going to great lengths to pretend to be. Either way, it absolutely earns him the title of this week's Biggest Bogonimeter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. And now let's genetically modify our resistance to this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this time, it goes to the government of Hungary, who, according to realpharmacy.com, quote, has taken a bold stand against biotech giant Monsanto and genetic modification by destroying 1,000 acres of maize found to have been grown with genetically modified seeds. Wow. And the burning happened so late in the year that non-GMO corn cannot be sown. The seeds came from, guess who, Monsanto, who provides almost half of the seeds for farmers all over the world, both GMO and non-GMO. Monsanto tested the seeds they sold to Hungary in their own labs and found no GMO, and this was verified by an independent laboratory in France. This information has been sent to the government of Hungary, who has not responded. This has actually been going on for some 2 years now, and some 2,500 hectares of land is under dispute. Monsanto has asked that Hungary not destroy crops until they have been independently tested for the presence of GMO, but the country's government has not heeded this request. The really stupid thing here is, there isn't the first bit of justification for banning GMO crops in the first place, and every reason why it's a stupid thing to do. Genetic modification is absolutely key to feeding the world and making food more cheaply available for everyone. For example, Puccinialis is a plant disease commonly known as rust fungus, which attacks almost every cereal and grain except rice. By isolating the gene that makes rice immune, the trait can be spliced into wheat, barley, and other crops and increase yield while decreasing the need for chemical pesticides. This podcast has covered before how golden rice, a GMO strain high in beta-carotene, being introduced to the Philippines will drastically reduce vitamin A deficiency in the country. And as many of my listeners already know, Dr. Norman Borlaug, easily one of the greatest human beings who ever lived, saved over a billion lives, partly in thanks to genetically modified crops. Make no mistake, Hungary's actions make its people poorer, not just due to the loss in advances the GMO offers, but because the government is now going to have to compensate these farmers at taxpayers' expense. If government has a place at all here, it would be to defend the people against the encroachment of dangerous substances. But despite the bleeding of many anti-science woos to the contrary, there isn't one single valid reason to believe that GMO crops are in any way harmful, and every reason to believe that they offer a tremendous advantage to the hungry people of the world. Denying its own people that option, and doing it in the stupidest, most costly way, absolutely makes the government of Hungary this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this You Got Peanut Butter in My Chocolate edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Harry Brown. It is a terrible tragedy of life that the innocent so often have to suffer for the sins of the guilty. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.